Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
Boom! Here we go, ladies and gents. Welcome back, business pros. It is the Startup Hustle podcast, and this is my second episode in a four-part series talking about all things digital marketing. So let's get this show on the road. I got a special guest from St. Louis, Missouri, Bear Wade. Let's see. I love the description that he came up with, by the way, because it's so on point. Doing your own marketing sucks. Like, it just does. It's not the most entertaining thing, unless you're a marketing person, but most of us are something else in business, and doing your own marketing sucks, but you got to do it. You have to get it done. And Bear's got a proven brand step system that he wants to empower business owners to help get their branding and marketing in the right place. Why make the same mistakes as everybody else when you just got experience with somebody who's already doing it? So before we get started, today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. So Bear, welcome to the episode, man. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I love the show and love what everybody's doing there at Startup Hustle.
Oh man, it's a fun thing to meet a bunch of new entrepreneurs doing their thing in different ways. And one of the things that I've been able to learn from other entrepreneurs is what not to do, right? Everybody goes out there and makes mistakes. What right. not to do? Tell me a little bit about your backstory and how you learned what not to do.
Oh man. So I kind of come from a filmmaker background. I've been in business for 20 years and just right out of college, I have a photography degree and then got it, you know, I was doing audio before that in high school and kind of merged the two together to do video. And so I've been doing video for a long time. I have a documentary that's been airing on PBS for the last decade. And so people come to me for video a lot. You know, a lot of companies, you know, would approach me and ask me to shoot some video for them. And every time, I swear, every time we'd get into a meeting, pre-production meeting, I'd say, okay, so the whole point of this video of like spending our time on it is to bring people, you know, we're going to put it on social, we'll put it in your newsletter, your e-newsletter, and we're going to get it out all over the place. And hopefully it will bring people back to your website. So how is your website before we, you know, launch this thing? Is your website in order? And, you know, is it converting viewers into paid customers? And man, 9 times out of 10, they would always say, well, we have a website, but it still needs some work. And we both kind of look at each other like, well, let's pause. Like, why would we do the video then? Right. And so, so then I'd say, well, let's put a pin in the video production and let's get your website figured out because there's no point doing the video. And so we'd get in this, you know, website meeting and I'd say, okay, so every good website has a clear logo. It has good brand colors that, you know, reflect what they do. It has a value proposition or brand script, you know, something that says that they understand your pain and, you know, and here's why you should choose us. And authentic photography. So I'd say, so in some sort of call to action, but those are the big things. And so I'd say, so, you know, I see you have some photographs on here, but it's stock photography. Do you have anything, you know? And they'd say, well, we have a logo, but my uncle made it, or some employee made it on MS Paint 10 years ago or something. And it's like, oh man. So after doing that for 20 years and having these meetings all the time, I realized that there is an order to this. And I figured that out because I was doing it out of order every time. And so I finally was like, wait a minute, I've been doing it so much subconsciously for the brands I build and for clients, for myself. And I was, I thought, I got to write this down. Not everybody knows this. Nobody's talking about it in marketing, that if you build it in order, you're going to save a bunch of time. Because if you shoot a video, if you have your value proposition, your logo, your brand colors figured out, a lot of the video then to shoot it is just going to collect that footage. You don't have to figure out the script. It's like, well, just go shoot the thing. And it's a where and when, not what, at that point. Same thing for a brochure. It's like, well, if you have those things collected, it's just formatting it for the brochure. And if you're making a website, at least to start out, it's just putting those things together. And so you're just formatting it for desktop and mobile. So it was, I'm still like, still surprised that I, that people don't know it and that I didn't realize it sooner, but I'm happy to share it today.
Yeah. I love that story, because really what it is you got really good at one thing first, right? You got really good at the video part, but you realized, yeah. I mean, as I'm hearing your story, it feels like you realized that, look, I can do this really well, but the customer doesn't get the result they're looking for because they lack other pieces of this marketing campaign. So you found a hole in I guess the link of chains. You were just one link in this chain that needs to work together in order to pull this load.
Totally. And I think that to interrupt you for a second, I think there's a lot of production contractors, I'll call them, like, there's videographers, there's photographers, there's website designers, there's graphic designers, and a lot of times those people get hired out for projects in their own silo, and none of them talk and they don't share their ideas. So you have the website doesn't look anything like the brochure because they're two different people and two different, agencies or something, or maybe the graphic designer's in-house, but they outsource the web. And so to interrupt you, but it's the whole point is, let's get the left hand know what the right hand's doing and make it all unified.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you, but at the same time, how much of it do you think is like check the box versus actually having a business know what they're doing? Like, they know they're supposed to have a website, so they get a website done, right? They know they're supposed to have a logo, so they get a logo done. But what do you call unified branding? Like, what does that actually mean?
So, the classic example, whether we like it or not, is McDonald's, right? When we walk in, I know it's kind of cliche if you're in marketing, but for people that are new to it or hearing it again with fresh ears, the idea of walking into a McDonald's, you know that if you see the brown paper bag not in a McDonald's with the red and yellow stripes on it, you just know it's McDonald's. It speaks for itself because they use those same colors on their ads, their print ads, and on the billboard outside the restaurant, and they use it digitally. So it's they're very consistent. And so same thing with the Nike swoosh. They don't even have to use the word Nike anymore. It speaks for itself. And they've done a lot of work and spent a lot of money training us to know that. Sure. But at this point, it is super easy for them to just speak it. And we finish the sentence in our head. We always say Nike in our head, even though it just has a little swoosh on it.
And, that's true. That's true.
So for me, having a unified brand is just developing it once and then formatting it for all the different things. So your social media profile isn't your picture, it's your logo or your emblem, it's and stuff like that.
You could have stayed in your lane. You could have just done video stuff, and you've made a career out of it. You talked about the show currently on PBS. Like, you could have just stayed in video, but what launched you into doing all the marketing stuff?
Well, I had to do it for myself for the film because I couldn't afford anybody but me. So the part of that was just kind of doing it myself. What drives me is I hate it when I make and I just did this a few years ago, and it still rubs me raw that I made a film for a client And I delivered it to her, and I gave her like the Vimeo link to download, and I gave her, you know, the file she needed and the thumbnail, but she didn't know how to upload it to Facebook. You know, she didn't know how to download it and then get it onto her phone, or, you know, like she doesn't. And it was just like, oh my gosh, there's no point in making these videos if I'm not helping them with the rest of it. Like, I just worked myself out of a job, because to her, she knows she needs a video, but if she's not sharing it, it ruined the whole point of her investment. And that's the part for me that I was like, I gotta, even if I'm not the best at all these things, I need to at least find people on my team, you know, and create a team that can help me move this stuff forward and at least maximize their value, rather than just making the thing and saying, hey, you know, then I don't get any repeat business either, because it wasn't valuable to them. So why would they come back and want another video that didn't work?
Oh, man. Yeah. There are so many companies out there. It's funny because as I step into this digital marketing space, these paid ads, one of the things I look for when I bring on a client is, well, what digital assets do you already have, right? Do you have a logo? Do you have video? And the funny thing is, like you're describing, I'll go to the YouTube page and it's like 5 or 6 videos on their YouTube page, and they're good videos. Like, it's quality stuff.
Right.
But nobody's seen it. They don't have any idea what to do with it. They put it on YouTube because that's where it was supposed to go.
Right.
But that's it.
Oh, and I'm guilty of this too. I tell everybody I'm great at making cool stuff, but nobody knows it's there. I don't know if it's just the introvert in me, you know? So I've been over the past few years like, oh, I got to get this out more. It only does any of us so good if it's entertaining, but if nobody sees it, what's the point, you know? So that's been my big thing the last couple of years. It's like, okay, I got to get out of my shell and get out from behind the camera and, you know, find solutions here. So,
but isn't that why businesses fail or falter in the first place, right? I mean, how many businesses are out there and they're probably really good plumbers or really good videographers or really good at their craft? They're amazing. Right, they probably want some of the best talent out there, but nobody knows who they are. Like, right. they're invisible to the rest of the world. And I mean, it could be a Tom Brady, dude. You could be picking up somebody like in the 6th round, right? That's a backup quarterback, but it's a gem. They just don't know how to grow that particular business. So what made you, like, how did you come up with the 5 brand steps? Like, what pushed you to that next level to start getting yourself out there?
Well, I just made it to explain to prospects face to face. I made this huge menu. It was like, you know, here's the 40 things that, you know, it was much bigger, and it was all the things you possibly could do, you know, from like having business cards as a brochure, but I just put them in order to me, you know, if I were to continue to do it, and I did it on my own, I need to be really efficient because it's, you know, I don't have a huge budget for my own marketing. So it was more like, how would I do that? And so I had this huge list, and it just kind of came down to, I wanted to make it more easier to digest and easier to understand. And so I got it down to 5. And within that, there are, you know, there's kind of subcategories, but the 5 really help. Kind of it's repeatable, and you can, you know, understand what it is. So that for me was it's like, we got to get to a point where I can memorize it, and, you know, people can memorize it so they know.
Tell me what the 5 steps are.
So the 5 steps are defining, building, growing, ongoing, and scaling. So the defining part is like, once you get it all defined, like your brand script, your business name, if you're just starting out, or sometimes I've seen so many bad business names that it's somebody's last name and it's really hard to spell or say, and it's like, you're kind of sabotaging your whole. So any of that stuff, it's like, define that first, and then you're going to start to build out, you know, your website, your social media, your pricing structure, which seems like a weird place to put that. But if people can't understand what you're selling and how they do it, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. and then, you know, coming up with your print media. And then after that, it's just about growing. Like, make sure you have a database of email list of current clients. And I went years without keeping track of my previous clients, really. And I was never like touching base with them. Now it seems so obvious. And I think a lot of marketers have brought that to the forefront of reminding us that our email list is valuable, but it's so, like, I can't believe I didn't do that for the longest time. And then it's working on your lead generation, you know, but you don't need to work on your lead gen, I don't think, until you have a place to point them. So, you know, that's part of the order. And then ongoing, it's just, you know, making sure you have some sort of content pipeline, which I talk about a lot, because for me as a, I still do a lot of video production. We want to keep track of all of it, and we don't need everybody jumping on, you know, all of, we don't need editors and social media managers and the shooters and the data wrangler. You know, we don't need all of them jumping on that same project at the same time. So we have this kind of like order to things so we can track it. We name each idea and track it. And so we talk about that a lot, and yeah, coming up with a content schedule and deploying it all. And then the last part is just scaling. You know, it's like, now we've got it all going. How can we make it a little bit bigger? How can we grow, you know, how can we get more sales, get more leads, more, have more people, doing the work instead of me doing it all, you know, or having the business owner, the CEO doing it all, which, sometimes we're wearing so many hats, it's sabotages our whole business. So,
defining when you're sitting down with a new business owner and you're going to create your stuff, right? You might have, like, I'll give you an example. When my brother and I started,
we all have that example, right?
when my brother and I started our podcast, I didn't know anything about, I could probably barely spell podcast, right? And I was going to do this thing. And so I'm creating everything that is required to launch this podcast, one of which was a thumbnail. Right. And mind you, I had zero creative background. So I literally was like, come here, dude, snap a picture like a selfie. Right. And then throw it on. It might have been Paint for all I know. Slap on the words like business bros. And that was it. It was just a picture of us. Right. And when we started doing this more consistently on a regular basis, then we were like, okay, well, let's actually create an actual logo, not just a picture of us. Right. And let's start, you know, kind of picking stuff. And the extent, like, how do I even define that? Like, how do I go from there? Because I'll tell you how I did it. I went on Fiverr and I looked at like a couple different people's artwork designs. And then I was like, hey, here's the original picture. Can you make something cool? And like, that was it, right? That was
make
no
something cool. I needed to pop.
Technical. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, we tried out a couple different things. We ended up with the Business Bros logo that we have now. But
yeah.
That was almost like luck, right? Like there was no actual structure to that. When you talk about defining your stuff, like what kinds of questions should we be asking ourselves, or what should we be doing to kind of help create something that is going to get engagement, to be noticed, to stand out a little bit?
I am a big fan of having some sort of emblem, you know, something that can speak for itself without the words. You know, so we know American Airlines without the word American Airlines, with the eagle. We know the Golden Arches, of course. We know the Starbucks woman, and so that for me, the Nike swoosh again. That I like the idea of having some sort of emblem that speaks for itself. Now, your Business Bros has kind of a cartoon illustrated, you know, caricature kind of feel to it. And I think that's great. You know, it feels lighthearted. It feels approachable, but it's still done very well. So it's clean, you know, and I think that's good. But I guess for me, I want to try and find something that represents what they are or what they're about, and try and pull that out. And sometimes it has to do with the building they're in or the service they're in. And other times it's a bit more abstract, but I want something that can look and feel like them and stand on its own.
Yeah. It's funny how difficult it is to do that. Right. Like, I mean, even something as simple as pick a color, right? Like, pick a color is not the easiest thing to do. And then, okay, and then a couple palette colors to go along with it. What? Like, you want to pick three colors? I have a hard time picking one.
Well, I think there's some good color combinations. So if you kind of know something, I mean, here's the quick answer, blue. Yeah. There's some stat like, you know, 70% of logos are blue or something like that. So you can just cut to the chase and do that. But I think that... there's color palettes, and I think what's interesting is if you are a fan of professional sports at all, of basketball, the NFL, there are a bunch of color palettes there, and you wouldn't believe every time I design something, somebody will come up and go, oh, that reminds me of the Denver Broncos logo because it's orange. And, you know, it just, you know, they've stolen every good color palette, you know, because they're there. Right. So you can kind of look and see what other people are doing and get those color combinations without completely ripping them off. I wouldn't go and steal the exact orange and the exact blue from the Broncos, but the idea of saying orange and blue goes together is helpful, you know, and I do talk about in the book about how a little bit about color theory and which I think is fascinating as far as branding goes, because what it says, you know, what the color says, all, you know, color says something to everybody and we all kind of interpret it for the most part the same. So I think that's, you know, so if you have something where you want to be personable or elegant or high energy, you know, there's a color for you. So you might be able to look at your kind of company or your brand or what you want to evoke and pick your color palette around that.
I love how you said NFL, because ultimately I went with the Charger colors.
That's what ended up happening, man. Yeah, it's your two shirts on your logo. Yeah, I gotta get
that's hilarious. It was the blue and gold, man. That's what we ended up going with. That's so funny. Okay, I'm not alone, though. I'm not alone.
No, it's funny how that always happens, but
it does. Right in the middle of football season too. So it's ever at the beginning of football season. So it's perfect. Right. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the build. So you're going to, you finally decided a color, you create your logos, maybe do a little bit, you know, some intros, outros type things, whatever you need for your design. Yeah. Then what do you build first? Do you go straight into your social media platforms? Do you go like straight into like, is it a landing page? Is it a full website? Like what are we looking at?
I actually don't start with any of those. I start with my pricing structure because it seems kind of in a weird spot, but trust me, it's in the right spot in the fact that if you start reaching out to people or people start finding you on social media, they're going to want to, odds are you're good at what you do and you're trying to turn it into a business. And if you don't know what you're selling it for, if you don't know the scope, you don't know your delivery, if you don't have that communicated and what it costs, then all the rest of your energy is wasted. The whole point is to sell what you're doing and make a profit. So I like to try and figure out my pricing structure next. And if that is in kind of the menu, you know, if you have like three tiers or if you, you know, just whatever that is for you, if it's a membership, it's just to define that. And what do they get and what don't they get? And, you know, do you have some sort of upsell? Exactly, you know, to continue with the McDonald's thread, you know, they sell burgers, but they make their money on the fries and the Coke. And so that what are those upsell opportunities? You want to figure that out and define that in your pricing structure. But then once that's done and you have it either internal, like, so you know it. So if people contact you, you can at least bid stuff out, or if you're making it external, so they can look at your menu or your pricing. Once you have that done, then I build a website and then I put it all over social media, you know, then I have something to go back to, you know, I can point them back to the website and start.
That's where we start moving into the growing, right? Because now you have a place to point them now, right? So you've designed their color, you've designed your brand the way you want it to look. You have an image, something that says, this is who we are. And now people, because your assumption here is that the person that is doing this has a skill at something. So if they have a skill at something, right, then they have
a solution to our problem. You know, I assume that's in the form of a skill, but not always. I just heard another podcast where the guy, he started a software company and he didn't know any coding, but he knew the industry that he wanted to serve, and that went a long way. So he's like, well, I can find other people to help me with the coding, but they wouldn't know how to serve them as well as I could because of my background. So I think that's interesting. But the thing for me when I'm talking about growing is make sure you track everybody who's a fan of yours, you know, like start that email start that database, for email, for mailing, you know, real paper mail or just phone numbers. Just start collecting your tribe, you know, as Seth Godin calls them, or just between fans and then paid customers. And you want to convert as many of those fans into paid customers as you can, but track them all and keep reaching out to them and reminding them, keep providing value, right?
As you go along. Russell Brunson talks about the difference between controlled traffic and paid traffic, right? So when you're paying for traffic, when you're paying for ads and you're taking the videos that you create, or you're taking the images that you take pictures of, and you post them out there through paid advertising to attract attention to that page, that, that pricing structure that you just talked about, part of it is gathering that data. Part of it is getting that name, email, phone number type stuff, because that traffic that you're getting, you don't control, you're paying for it. However, as you build that email database, as you build that phone number base, as you build that physical address, now you have other means of distribution. And this is where the growing and ongoing pops in, if I'm hearing you correctly,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Yep. And that's it. And like I said, I didn't do it for the longest time. I just served them, whoever asked me to do something, and I delivered, and I like track them and keep following up with them. So it's so much easier, right? We know it's easier to sell to somebody who's already bought from you than to find somebody new to buy from you. So, just keep track of them.
All right, ladies and gents, that's a start right here. We're going to take a little quick break. We've already talked about defining your logos, defining your brand strategy. We talked a little bit about building your pay scale. Make sure you understand what you charge for what services you're offering. We talked a little bit about growing and ongoing. And so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about scaling. How do you make an impact? What makes you valuable in the market? So let me take a quick little break. All right, today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. All right, business pros, let's do this thing. Bear, to scale, it feels like you have to be able to make an impact. And, you know, we all wish we could be that, you know, person that goes viral in the very first video we make and everybody knows our name and then that's it, problem solved.
So much easier.
But it doesn't always work that way, right?
It doesn't. It sure doesn't. Yeah, and that's what scaling's about. I for me, you want to try and find ways to first reproduce yourself. You know, you probably came in to business because you were good at something. So to try and define what made you good at it and have some sort of repeatable process is really handy. It kind of sounds obvious, but it's very handy. And if you can start to train other people, then you can get out of doing the work in the business and start working on the business. And so for me, it's trying to first, it's about trying to make sure I cover myself, you know, the roles that I've been good at.
Yeah. Well, you're putting together videos, right? So you're doing shows. You're really good at grabbing attention and kind of storytelling, because I think a good videographer really can visually tell a story from what's happening. So when we talk about, you know, trying to make an impact out there, what we're really doing for a brand is telling that story, right? We're really growing little bits at a time and connecting with our tribe, as you called it, right? As Seth Godin calls it, we're connecting with our tribe a little bit at a time. So what do you think are the things that we should focus on when we're trying to make an impact with our tribe?
I think that, this comes almost straight out of a story brand with Donald Miller. Yeah. I mean, he says a lot of things that I've been doing, but he defined them so well and so succinctly. It's like, oh boy, that's fantastic. I love their work. But he talks about making sure you empathize with your tribe, you know, make sure that they understand that you've been through the trenches, just like the trench they're in right now. And that you've come out the other side with some sort of solution and then show them the way, right? Show them the three easy steps that you can they can take to follow you along in the journey of getting out of that foxhole, to continue the metaphor. But that to me is, I mean, the way to show empathy is very helpful in storytelling. That and having a beginning, middle, and end. You know, you want to try and if you're shooting video. My tip is always know how to start and know how to get out of it. You can figure out the middle. You're the pro, so you'll figure out the middle part. But nobody's good at like wrapping up a sentence. they still want to tell you more information, you know? So, and you're amazing at it as a podcast host, but, you know, it took practice, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, only 800 plus episodes.
Well, that's there all you go.
The practice it took. Yeah. Right. No, but, you know, when I think about making impact, I, you know, one person at a time sounds like it sucks, right? Like, it sounds like, how am I ever going to talk to millions of people? How is my brand ever going to really scale? How am I going to grow something big if I'm talking to one person at a time? But when you're focusing your story, you really are talking to a person. It's just that there are a lot of those a persons around.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, exactly. No, that's so true. And if you can remember that you're just talking to a person and keep that person in mind, in everything that you do, whether it's designing the website or making a video or, figuring out your pricing structure, all that stuff is writing emails, bulk emails to people. Just remember that one person and just, you know, continue to speak to them.
So what do you think makes, your work in marketing valuable? Like what do you feel like you are, where your strength is? I mean, you kind of mentioned it about video, but what makes it so valuable?
Well, I've had people tell me, you know, I've been trying to figure that out for the last 20 years, but I've had people say that I can turn an idea into something marketable. So it seems like I do a lot of startup work with people that are wanting to do some sort of side hustle, or they've moved into wanting to do it full time, and they find me and our agency and are ready to turn some idea into something. And I hear I'm great at that. And then the other thing is I just have more, a bigger, wider perspective than a general, marketer, or somebody like a trade, advertising tradesperson. Right. So as a shooter, of video, I edit. So I know how to shoot as an editor and as, you know, and as a photographer, which I see all the time, even in stock photography, photographers don't leave enough room for the text, you know, in the negative space here. So they are still cropping as if it's a portrait. And it's like, well, we need room as a design. They don't shoot like a designer, right? And so I like having that bigger perspective. And I think that's something that only you get with experience. And boy, I've gotten a lot of experience. And I think that is really helpful to the client after all, you know, after it's all said and done in the long run, because you have that, you know how to instruct or communicate to a photographer and say, no, I need you to shoot loose, you know, leave some room in the sky, cause that's where I know we're going to put the logo or whatever it is. Right. And so, I just can kind of, I think the bigger perspective has been very helpful in, being valuable to clients.
Yeah, but that's huge. Like, I mean, here's something I've noticed that happens a lot. You go and you have this idea, this concept that you want to videotape, or this photo shoot that you want to do. And like you said, the pictures come out great. The video comes out great. But there's nothing that really points in the direction that you wanted to go. And the video is cool, but it doesn't tell me what you do. It doesn't really, you know, guide the customer through the story that I want them to. My pictures look, you made me look amazing, but I can't really put my logo anywhere. I can't really add any copy to this thing. You know, when you're setting yourself up like that, and you're saving the customer so much time and money, and the reason on the time thing is because you're editing in your mind before you even like finish what you're doing, right?
Yeah,
you have a concept
before
in
I'm
mind.
Shooting. Yeah, before I'm shooting. And sometimes I kind of like blank out on set and I'm like, I think that's going to go together perfectly. I'm editing in my head. I do that in my dreams too. I'm still editing. But, you know, and same thing with the, I've had so many times where somebody will submit a photo for their we'll call it their slider at the top of their website, right? So it's usually long and narrow. It's below their navigation and their logo and, you know, above the body copy. And it's always kind of, you know, long and skinny. And that is a weird thing to shoot for in a camera, I'll tell you. to crop that loose, it looks like they're super far away. But then once you crop it right for the slider, you're like, wow, I barely have enough room for the, you know, the tagline next to them. So, that is something that, you know, it's just nice to, I guess, have that. I don't know what your question was. I'm sorry, but I think it's just another example of how, having that, wider perspective, is helpful.
Tell me more about Brand Steps. Like, when people want to work with you and you know, they're hearing all this stuff that you do, and I'll be honest, because as a customer, as someone who hires a videographer, you know, the videographer that I use here locally in San Diego, one of my favorite things is when I sit down, I'm like, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing. He steps back for a second, and exactly like you were describing, where you're lost in a moment and you're seeing something visually in your head. I can see that happening in his head. And then he's like, okay, you know, let's do this. Let's direct you here. Stand here. We're going to walk in. It's going to look like this, blah, blah, blah. Like, he has a whole thing laid out in his mind. So when people come to work with you, you know, what do we find? You know, what's that process like? How do we get a hold of you? You know, what's the step-by-step?
So usually they, you know, we would try and figure out what the problem is they're trying to communicate. And then from there, figure out what the best kind of shoot is. You know, I seem to do a lot of talking head. I think that comes from my interview days, my documentary interview days, where we're doing this kind of discussion thing where I might have somebody look at the camera, but then I shoot a bunch of B-roll secondary footage to try and, you know, illustrate what they're talking about. But you know, it's not always that case. I think it's interesting to try and figure out how to solve or communicate what they're trying to say. And dang, is that hard sometimes to go, okay, I see what you're saying here now. Or they'll come to me with an idea, they'll pitch me the creative part of it. And I get what they're going for, but I couldn't figure out how to shoot it right, or it would come off super cheesy, or, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. I get what you're going for. Let's see how we can evolve that to the next phase and still keep the essence of what you're going for. Or, you know, sometimes they're way off and it's like, oh, I don't think your viewer is going to connect with that, you know? And so it's really interesting to try and problem solve that. And just like your videographer, there are a million variables in video, and to try and figure out how to manage them all between having the gear, the batteries, the cables, all the little accessories to connect the camera and the mic and the, you know, and if you just have the one quarter 20 screw that doesn't, you know, hold the tripod to the camera, you're going to have the whole shoot's ruined, you know? So you have all that, but then you have lighting you have to figure out, and the audio. It seems like every time I turn on a camera, some leaf blower is going on across the street, or you know, it's like, oh my God. So it's just managing a lot of that. Right. And so I can definitely understand what your videographer is going through, trying to figure out how to minimize those variables and tell a cool story and, you know, show you off and make it engaging. So people don't, because we have short attention spans, how we can, you know, stay engaged with the video. It's a tough job.
I almost wish I had some free resource that could help me out with some of this stuff. If only. Bear, is there anything you can help me with?
Well, we have, you know, like I said, I have a book coming out. It's called Unify Your Marketing. It's just the five-step guide to get your marketing in order, so you save heartache, save yourself from heartache, save some money, save some time. Those are three things we definitely need as business owners. So I encourage you to check that out at unifyyourmarketing.com. Our pre-sale starts today. Yay! The book actually comes out October 5th. And so I encourage you to check that out. But we also have a lot of free resources on our website when you get there. We have a guide for how to shoot. Before you shoot, we call it a pre-record checklist. So it's a list of all the things you should consider before you push record, from having good energy to making sure your wardrobe looks good, double check your hair, make sure you know your in and your out point, like how to get into it and how to get out of it. You know, there's this whole checklist. So you don't have to think about, like, did I format the SD card in my camera before I record? Is my mic on? You know, I did a recording not too long ago, and I had the mic on the camera, but I didn't have it on me. It was just sitting over here. But I wasn't monitoring it because I was in it, you know. So I did a couple, and then I listened back, you know, just to make sure everything was good. And I listened back, and I'm like, wow, that sure sounds echoey.
Yeah, I wonder why.
You know, if I would have just looked at my own list, you know, it would have been helpful. So it just kind of saves you from that. So that checklist is free on our website. We have another checklist for if you're building a website, you know, those top 10 things that you should definitely have on your site. to make it engaging and turn a viewer into a paid customer. And so, yeah, a lot of free resources. Those are just a couple of them. But yeah, I encourage you to check them out.
Gotta love checklists, man. Checklists, lifesavers. I mean, if it wasn't for some of the checklists, like, I mean, there's checklists that I got just for when I go on vacation or I'm going to soccer practice, right? I'm going down my checklist. Yeah, do I got my canopy? Do I got my chairs? Do I got my wagon? Do I got my water?
Like, there's snacks.
Checklists, got my snacks. Everything's got to have a checklist. It's the way you're going to get stuff done. All right. Sure. So let me ask you some fun questions about you as an individual.
Sure.
How would you consider yourself to be winning on a regular basis? What do you do to get yourself to improve, to be happier, to be more creative? Because, you know, some of those things are very helpful when creating some engaging content. Like, that creativity's got to come in. So what do you use or what do you do to kind of spark that creativity to get better every day?
Oh, I work on that a lot because there are so many opposing forces working against me between having children, which I love them, but holy cow, are they a sabotage of time and attention?
Yes. I agree with that one. I second that one.
Can I get an amen? Yeah, no, I love them, but at the same time, it's hard to find that balance. It really is. And so focusing on that, making sure I get to spend time with them, I schedule time. For me, what schedule gets done. So I make sure I schedule everything, and that's super helpful. I have been getting up, you know, everybody has told me, every entrepreneur has told me to get up early. And I finally, after years, I always edited at night. And because it got quiet, the leaf blowers were all gone. I have to edit a lot with my ears. You know, I have to hear the people that are talking and I have to hear the background noise, make sure it's good and adjust the music behind it and all that. So I used to do a lot of editing at night and I'd have these, you know, 5-6 hour stretches. And once I had kids, it was so much harder to do that because I had the morning, you know, kids don't sleep in. And so that was hard. So now I've totally flipped it. I've hired editors. So now I shoot stuff, I communicate to them, and it turns out they are better than me. So it's even better. You know, the final product's even better than anything I was doing anyway. And so that's pretty neat. And then, having my morning, knowing my, like, what are my big things I need to make sure I get done in the day. I learned from Michael Hyatt, who's the leadership guy, you know, to make sure that I focus on my big three or whatever, you know, I forgot what he calls it, but, you know, making sure you focus on what's most important and you're very mindful of all the other sabotaging things. There's a difference between urgent and loud and urgent. You know, sometimes I'll have clients that are like, I got to get this done ASAP. And I'm like, you know, there's no such thing as a design emergency. I mean, if it's going to press or something, it can be, but we kind of joke about that. I do have to be available for that.
But I love that though. That's a great one. There's no such thing as a design emergency. Relax, pump your brakes,
slow your roll.
All right. Wait, you know what? Let me ask you this. Cause I get told that, I got a lot of energy, right? But if you listen to, for me, episode one, it wasn't like that. And I learned, there's that saying that the camera adds 10 pounds. Well, I think the camera also sucks the life out of people
it
too,
sure
right?
Does. It totally does. And I tell people that all the time. I'm like, if it's embarrassing between you and me, you know, we're the only two people in the room. I have a camera. I'm pointed at you. You want your energy so high, you know, and I bet I'm guilty of this. Well, I'll listen to the playback on this and I'm like, why do I look so zapped? You have to overdo it. Yeah, I have to almost feel like you're, you know, embarrassed to be exerting so much energy for the thing. But once you look at the playback, you're like, man, that looks so engaging. That looks so good, you know? And so, yeah, ramping up your energy when you're shooting video or on a podcast or, you know, being interviewed, bring it. I have that added to my push record checklist, but I didn't follow my own advice.
Add the energy. It reminds me of Goodwill Hunting where Matt Damon and, I think it was the parody version, but I think it was Jay from the Bob. But they were talking, they were at the beginning getting ready for their scene. They're like, lion face, lemon face, ooh, lemon face. I kind of just get that feeling like you got to get yourself, I don't know what it is, do some jumpy jacks, do some push ups, slap around, splash water. I don't know what you got to do, but you got to bring that energy way up. And it really helps with the engagement.
All right,
one more. Do you consider yourself to be driven or obsessed? And if you don't like that one, genius or crazy?
What were my first two options there?
Driven or obsessed?
Driven, for sure. Obsessed, I think I've backed off of that. I think when I was younger, I might have been obsessed. And that was about being the best videographer, the best filmmaker I could possibly be. And now it's I've shifted to being, how can I run a good business? And I'm I guess I might be obsessed. Wow. I didn't realize that, but now that I'm reflecting on it. But I'm definitely driven. I want to get things done. I'm very proactive. I like churning stuff out, and I like creating content all the time. And I get itchy after about 2 days if I haven't made something. So I'm driven that way for sure. Genius, not a chance.
I see going crazy on that one.
cray. Yeah.
All right. Well, Bear, hey, man, thank you very much for coming on the show today, sharing with us. I mean, it was a great time, great conversation.
Yeah. I love the podcast, and I'll keep listening. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gents, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was brought to you by Full Scale, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you guys find us on Instagram at Startup Hustle Podcast or check us out on our YouTube channel. We'll see you guys again next time. Peace out, business pros.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.